Hello, and welcome to Introducing Me. I'm your host, Sarah. I started this podcast to get to know other people and lifestyles while discovering more about myself. Each episode, I'll give a new guest a chance to discuss their background, culture, interests, or whatever they want to talk about to help increase all of our own worldviews. Today, I would like to introduce you to Jen. If you remember last week, I had Ben, who was a co-host of Aspire and Acquire, and Jen is the other co-host of that podcast. So I'm excited to hear his life, his stories, you know, kind of get that juxtaposition because they share a podcast together. He was born in China and has been in the States for the past decade. So he has been here now for a while and is a recent graduate from university. And he's here to talk about, you know, self-improvement, post-college life, and just a little bit of everything. You know, we'll see where it goes. And I'm excited to hear everything he's got to say. So Jen, why don't you go ahead, say hello, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, you're absolutely, Sarah. Thank you for having me on the show. You know, me and Ben, we graduated from South Carolina University together and become close friends over the past years. And that's how I'm sure you hear from Aspire and Acquire, a podcast, we started. So yeah, like you said, born from China, moved to here about 10 years ago. And now I am working as a management associate at Baltimore, Maryland for M&T Bank. But yeah, post-grad, it's been quite a journey. You know, I'm glad to be on the show just to kind of share my experience on post-grad experience in college and other side projects I've currently been working on. So hopefully that our conversation can bring some values to your audience and they can learn and take away something valuable. So
awesome. I'm excited to hear all of your stories. So why don't we go a little bit chronological and start with just moving to the States and what that experience was like for you, because you would have been old enough to remember it. And so I'm interested to hear what assimilating to U.S. culture was like.
Well, quite honestly, moving to the States wasn't my choice. Let's start off with that. Full transparency, Sarah, when I was a kid, and you start learning English about, I would say, third grade. And I'm not the best student in school. I will always get my report card and I will have, you know, A's and B pluses. But the only category I've never got a D above is English. One day, as always, final exam comes around and report card came out. I bring the report card to my mother, and my mother look at me disappointedly, says, "Jin, you have to improve your English." I swear to God, I look my mom in the eyes, I said, "Mom, I would never, ever need English in my life. Why am I learning this?" So for all the listeners, if you ever go against your mom's will, just trust me, your mom's always right, because 6 months later, she came home and told me that we are moving to America and forced me to learn English. So I don't know if that's karma or just consequences, but yeah, that's why, that's how I ended up in America 10 years ago, actually. Wow.
That is super great that you were, you know, I'm never going to use it. And I think we think about that with a lot of subjects when we're in that age range of, you know, preteen, teenagers, high school, and then to need it so much. So what was it like? You know, you mentioned that you grew up in this area where our school was. So what was your experience like picking a college?
Picking college was actually kind of difficult for me, because when I was in high school, sport is my top priority. So I'm always very active, like basketball, soccer, tennis, and track and field. And while I was doing all of that, I have never thought about, you know, what I want to do after high school. I know I want to go to college, but I haven't taken much time and thought about it. I remember it was a moment in senior year where all my friends, you know, got offer or got an acceptance to their dream college and universities. And at that time, I had no plan. I took SAT, but the grade wasn't ideal enough to go to a lot of like top, you know, Ivy League or top recognized colleges. But then, long story short, to your question is, and one day, a lot of my family friend member who is, you know, been involved with the sustainable community for a very long time, and they were able to chat with me about, you know, their experience with sustainable university, which, you know, I graduated from, and I heard about their great program with the business school, which is a top 5% small liberal arts school in the whole world. And and I visit campus, of course, you know, it's kind of like my backyard, right? In high school, me and my friend always hang out at SU, play basketball and tennis, and it become a second home to me. That was the moment I realized, you know, I'm looking for something small, like a more like community where you kind of learn in a small classroom setting versus going to somewhere else, such as like Penn State, but I love Penn State, just want to throw out there, you know, but some big school like that, it's very hard to learn with like 200, 300 people in a classroom setting. So that's one of the major reasons why I decided to go to Southern University. And quite candidly at the time, I don't think my English level was quite good enough to attend a college, because when I took an SAT, my English category was actually really, really bad. And quite a funny thing is, you might laugh at this, but I actually don't know what GPA stands for until college. I had no idea what that meant, or what kind of impact that have, you know, to my life. But I'm glad, you know, I ended up at SU, and it's been a great journey. I don't think I can see myself going anywhere else with all the friends I've made, experience I've had, and the relationship I've built over time. So it's really a blessing.
Awesome. Now, when you were at SU, did you ever have issues with your English, or did things start to get better once you were in the smaller group settings of the school?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think over time, it got better with just, I think, commitment. And also, I think the turning point was the first semester. I think when I got into the college, the first semester was a little bit rough, right? Like I was taking a lot of, you know, biology classes, like history, which had nothing to do with my major. I majored in accounting and finance and economics. That's what I like to do. But to the point is, I received my semester grade card, and I was shocked. And I look at my grade card and I receive a 2.2 GPA out of 4.0. And that was the moment, Sarah, when I understand what GPA stood for and what that meant. And I realized, well, I'm like, wow, I'm 0.2 points away from dropout college. And that was the moment I realized, well, I need to buckle down and develop my English skills. And just dedicate more time to my courses so I don't drop out of college and disappoint all the people who have helped me along the way. So that was really a turning point for me. But to your question, yes, my English definitely got better because I kind of took a little bit of initiative to join different kind of organization on campus, such as Enact organization, which is a nonprofit organization that's committed to help local small businesses or local communities by volunteering our time and create a project around them. And then also join, you know, SGA, SAC, I think, Student Activity Committee, et cetera. So I think all those extra curriculum really helped me enhance my English skills over time.
And now, in being on all of those extracurriculars, how were you able to also focus on your grades in your classes?
There's one book. It's called 4 Hours Work Week. And, you know, going back a little bit, once I realized, you know, once the turning point, once I received the GPA grade card, I started to do a lot of research on, you know, how can I best manage my time? You know, I have all these goals, right? I have all these goals and ideas, but everybody only have 24 hours, right? But the question is, how can you maximize this 24 hours and do as much as you can? So I read the book, it's called 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss. Highly recommend to everybody who really want to manage their time and be more efficient, excuse me. And the way I really found beneficial was I would write down exactly what I want to do the day before. So I will focus on my afternoon routine, or before going to bed, it will take like half hour to kind of write down a couple of things you want to accomplish the next day. And then you will, fill out every single block, half hour, outside of your class schedule on exactly what you want to do. And I think that's really helped me, because I know exactly what I'm doing after I'm done with class, after I'm finished studying, after my meeting. I know exactly where I'm going next instead of figuring out, what I want to do next. And that's kind of, by the time you figure it out, half hour passed by, 1 hour passed by. So I think time management is really beneficial to anybody. And it's really going to have really positive impact to your life.
Yeah, definitely time management is very essential in college and then after college as well. Now, you mentioned that you're currently in Baltimore. So what was it like leaving Central Pennsylvania?
I love adventures. I love exploring. So, move to a different area is now new to me. Come to Baltimore, it's big change, right? I mean, going from graduate from college, move to a new city and start a career. But the transition made it a lot easier with some friends around me, right? A lot of my coworkers who is similar age of mine also live in the area. And also mentioned Ben, he lives about 10 minutes away from me. I think that have made the transition a lot easier. But Baltimore have a bad rap, right? Like when you think about Baltimore, you technically don't think about a very safe neighborhood. But over time, I developed this very strong relationship with Baltimore. Actually, it's it got its beauty in the Inner Harbor, Fells Point, Canton, and Fat Hill area. So a transition wasn't that hard. But I think what I have learned is, lessons going to the workforce. I think that transition was a lot harder than I expected. But I think we can all look back, after the first year in the real world, we can all look back how far we have come, how much we have learned just by working instead of like learning from a book. Actually take action and practical stuff. So that's a long answer to your question. I don't know if I answered like fully, but I kind of went all over the place there.
That's okay. And, you said the transition to like working full time, it can definitely be, and it is completely different than college life. So what sort of experiences did you have in those first few months, or maybe even the full year, that you like maybe could go back and tell yourself like some advice? What were you dealing with?
Wow, that's a good question. Three things. One is that you have to realize that your friend might not be around, right? Like you don't have friends who support you all the time, like we're present. I think that's a better word for it, right? Because in college, you can go back to your dorm room, to your apartment, and all your friends gonna be there. But in the real world, you might just be by yourself. So to able to be alone is actually a gift. And that's one thing I really learned is, I'm blessed as well, because there's a lot of times throughout my life I have to be alone, right? Like move from China to America was with my mother, it was kind of a force us to be alone in a way. So I think that kind of helped me transition a lot easier after college. And go back to being alone is a gift. And here's why. You know, when you're alone, you kind of block off all other noises. Social media, that's a big thing. Maybe even news. And maybe your friends. Once I block off, I mean, you don't have that kind of interaction with them every single minute. You have a quiet time to kind of focus on what is important to you. That means self-reflection. Understand, you know, for example, what Sarah wants, instead of like, you know, what you can do to make your friend happy, what we can do to make your parents happy, is figuring out what does you truly want and what do you see yourself 5 or 10 years from now. And I think able to be alone is a crucial skill, especially after the first couple of years after college.
All right, we just had some fun technical difficulties. So if this bit sounds a bit disjointed, that's why, because we're going to try to use what we had before and keep on going. So Jin, you were talking about, you said you had three things from kind of, you know, your beginning career life. You talked about the first thing being alone, which I was sitting here resonating with very much because I moved out to Central Pennsylvania after I graduated and lived by myself for 2.5 years. But yeah, and then you had two other things, and that's where we were. So if you remember what you were talking about after all that fun technical stuff, I'd love to hear the other two things.
Sure. No worries, no stress. We love technology, but also hate it, right? It's about how to solve the problem. I think the second thing we're talking about is the ability to adapt. And you know, when I say that, it means, you know, when you join an organization, whether or not you join a large corporation or small company, it's ability to adapt the culture and bond with your colleagues. Because you'd be surprised how much you can learn from them. I'm a true believer that no matter who you are, doesn't matter you're rich or you're the smartest guy in the world, you can always learn from someone. There's always something you can learn from. So I think the second thing is that. And the last thing is just learn things quickly. You know, for example, everything's changed so fast. With COVID happened, nobody expected, right? But we have to deal and adapt to this new environment that we're living in today. And a lot of things that we probably, you know, never thought of that we have to work remotely. I mean, 80% of the workforce right now work remote, right? Like, you have to, a lot of people don't know how to use Zoom, right? For example, you had to learn that. You had to learn how to have team bonding activities with your team. You have to learn how to communicate effectively, you know, through virtual, you know, Zoom calls or et cetera. So all the things that you have to learn and learn as quick as possible, I think that's really going to help you career-wise and just life in general.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's some great advice and some really good things to take away, especially right when you're starting out in that full-time career. Now, what has COVID been like for you? Have you been able to adjust and do all of those things that you were just talking about?
Yeah, quite honestly, you know, COVID is obviously a very a challenging time for everybody. However, there's always good in the bad and also bad in the good. In our cases, right, I think it's the first time in forever where we can put pause on our life and quarantine. Is quarantine boring? Absolutely, it's boring. It kind of upgrades you from seeing your friends and you have to take extra precautions when you visit families, etc. But also I think it's a perfect time to kind of focus on yourself, right? Take the time. Right now we have extra couple hours a day, especially if you work from home. Take the time to develop a new skill. Take the time to start a business that you always wanted to do, or podcast you want to start. Take the time to learn something different, or even take the time to binge watch the Netflix show you always wanted for the longest time, right? So it's a good pause on everybody's life, in a way. And I'm excited to for post COVID and the future. I'm not gonna say that I love quarantine. You know, I'm a lot of time I'm bored, and I wish my friends is here with me right now. I wish I can go to a football game. I wish I can go to a basketball game and travel, do all the fun things. But it's also a good time to do the things I mentioned earlier. So, been good.
Good. Now, I think you mentioned at the beginning, like, side projects outside of work. And obviously, like, you have the podcast and you just talked about, you know, getting inspired during quarantine. So what are you doing outside of the 9-to-5?
That's a good question, Sarah. Of course, the podcast with Ben, that's one thing we're doing. But then the second thing, I guess one of the goals with me and some of my other friends we're trying to do is start a nonprofit organization. Some of our passion is help people, and ideas helping people is, well, there's so many problems in the society we're trying to fix, right? There's war hunger, right? There's animal welfare, etc. So we are trying to find a way to get involved with more nonprofit organization, and then hopefully, you know, 5 years from now or a couple years down the road, we'll have more experience, where we can start our own nonprofit. I think that's another side project we're kind of trying to work on at the moment. And, you know, a lot of people look at me as someone who is passionate in finance and business, but I also have a passion for photography and videography. So during my free time, I'm a freelancer. So I help small businesses or even individuals to create, like, you know, systematic videos and product photography to brand the product or services, especially during this challenging time right now. A lot of my service is actually free or a minimum, you know, charges to kind of help them be ready when everything opened back up again. So, you know, I do this on the side, just as a hobby. So that's you know, two of some other projects we're working on. But other than that, you know, it's just been figuring out the next idea and take action. But so far, this is the only two that I've been active working on.
It sounds like you're a very busy person. So what, you know, you said, you know, your own nonprofit in the future. What are you thinking there?
Wow. It's a good question. So many things I wanted to do. I feel like there's not enough time. The goal is to help people, no matter what kind of nonprofit it is. I think one of the things we are really, really passionate about is bring the same opportunity to people, right? That could be job opportunity. That could be, you know, enough food and shelter, have a house above for them to live in, right? So to your question, you know, exactly what I want to do, I think that's two things I want to focus on. You know, one is, for example, there are a lot of underprivileged residents in Southeast Asia countries, like Indonesia, even like Cambodia, Laos, for example. A lot of people love to travel to these places, and I'm one of them who have amazing vacation time in those places. But what you don't see in those places is a lot of people are actually suffering from sex trafficking, from poverty, from, you know, not enough food and hunger. But so I guess one of my mission down the road is, you know, find a way to help those people and how we can create business around it so they can sell their service, they can sell the product to a more wealthier country like the United States, where they get actually like get paid a fairly price based on the service and product. So that's one idea that we have. But once everything's set in stone, you know, I would love to give you more updates on that. But you know, we have a lot of plans right now. You know, a lot of things in action. But once we actually have a solid proposal, I would love to share more.
Awesome. And it sounds like, you know, a really good reasons and good motivation for doing these things and, you know, helping a lot of good people and opening people's eyes. You know, as you said, people might go to these places just for vacation and they don't see every little thing. And even like you talking about with Baltimore, people might have a negative view on Baltimore. But like for me, I love the Inner Harbor. And like you talked about, you know, the great things that Baltimore has. And so there's so many places out there that have, you know, two sides to the story. So I'm excited, you know, to hear and see what you do in the future. And I wish you the best of success. Now, you talked a little bit, you know, in mentioning travel. I'm curious to know what opportunities you've had and what other cultures you've gotten to experience so far.
Yeah, so for the past couple of years, I was very fortunate to be able to travel. You know, when I was a little kid, my parents always took me around in all over China and visit, you know, different continent, a part of China, and learn about the history and the culture. And when I moved to America, the first time I traveled internationally other than come to America or going to China was the opportunity within South China University, actually. There was a scholarship called Stein Scholarship, which is rewarded to students with an international internship, everything paid for. And I was very fortunate enough to be selected as one of the two receivers. And I was that was my junior year. So I took the opportunity and had a internship in Australia, Melbourne, Australia, where I was working with an investment service company startup. And I was doing like equity analysis, etc. But that experience was very fascinating. It was the first time I traveled alone internationally and to a place where everything is so strange. I didn't really know anybody at the time. So it's kind of like a deja vu all over again, back to the first year I came to America when I didn't really know anyone at all. But it was priceless because, in my opinion, travel is really the best investment you can make for yourself. Despite all the fun, despite all the, you know, awesome Instagram picture you can take and post on social media platform, despite all of that, but more importantly, it's meeting local people and learn about their culture and network and connect with people there and enjoy the present, right? So long story short, I was able to travel to Australia and then had an opportunity to go to South Africa with my best friend, Andrew, and you know, travel all over Southeast Asia. And that's how I experienced the other side, you know, life in Southeast Asia. So very blessed to be able to travel. And something I learned from traveling is sometimes you see people who are generously happy are those who have least amount of money. You know, when I went to South Africa, people are very poor there, but they're happiest. You know, I see a couple who have no money and literally holding a basket of apple in the middle of the highway, trying to sell so they can provide food for the family. And, you know, we stopped there and, you know, just asked them, like, what their life's about. They during our conversation, they did not complain once. They didn't complain at all. They didn't talk about, oh my God, I wish I'm in America. I wish I'm a millionaire, or, I wish I have this much money. All they talk about is, I'm happy my kids is healthy. I'm happy that we have food on the table. We have roof above our head. Even though their house they're living in is close to poverty, but they didn't care any of that. You know, all they care about is the simplest thing in life. And that really opened my eyes and taught me a great lesson, is to be grateful. To be grateful of everything you have today. Because we as a human being, it's our human nature of always want something more. Right? You achieve one goal, and then after that you want to achieve the next goal. You made the first 20,000, now you want to make 40, 80, 100. There's never enough. I think that was, lessons like that that you learn from traveling, it's priceless. Because you're the first witness of that, right? You're the one sees it, you're the one experience it, not just from the news, not just from hearsay, right? It's not from the book. You're the one who wrote the story, you're the one who witnessed everything. It's a blessing. I'm so grateful for those opportunities, and I really can't wait to travel more post-COVID and to meet more people and learn about the beautiful world that we're living in today. So long answer for sure, as always.
But that's great. And you've experienced so many different things. So it was cool to hear all the little different pieces and some great advice as well there in, not taking things for granted. And I think a lot of people, if you've always had a roof over your head, if you've always had food on the table, it's not something you think about. It's just part of life. And the reality is that some people just don't have that. And I think we need to be reminded of that at times. And that's very important. So I'm glad that you shared that.
Well, yeah, like think about it. For people who don't have anything at all, their mindset is short-term goal. So they think about, the next hour, the next 4 hours, or the next day, right? So think about homeless people. They don't think about what I want to do a year from now. They don't get stressed out from, what am I going to do 2 years, 5 years from now? All they care about is, what's my next meal going to be? Where am I going to sleep tonight? So there's an interesting study actually been done. I forgot who did a study. Sorry, I could not give credit to the person who did the study. But there was a study done that shows generously for the general population, we think long term, such as month, 2 months, or 6 months. And that's part of the reason that kind of create anxiety to our society today, because we're always worrying about things that haven't happened, or we're stressed out over, what could happen down the road, versus those folks who are, maybe less fortunate. They think about short-term stuff, like I mentioned earlier. So they are generously live in the present versus live in the future or the past. So the reason I brought that up is, always try to live in the present. I'm the guilty of it. Sometimes I stress out about the future and overthink about the past. But the best thing to do is live in the present, learn from the past, and understand where you want to go, in the future. So
I think that's great. And I really like that. And I think in, of course, times of COVID, it's even more prevalent because we don't know about the future. So you can't be planning 2 years down the road. You can make hopes for what the end of summer might be like, but until it happens, we really won't know, so why not just focus on that short-term goal for that? Now, I believe I've kind of run out of questions before I start to wrap things up, though I'm sure there are more things that I could ask you to talk about. So is there anything else that you want to share with the listeners that you're itching to talk about?
We'll be here for a couple of days, Sarah, if we continue the conversation. No, I'm joking. I think what I really want to do is help people in any way I can. I think that's why you started the podcast, right? You're trying to learn different background because everybody have their own story to tell. So you can always learn from someone. And by talking to you, Sarah, today, I learned so much about you and your journey as well. So thank you so much for having me on the show. I think last thing I will leave is, you know, it doesn't matter where you are in life at the moment. You know, it's be nice and be generous to other people and always give. You never see someone who give become poor. Okay, the reason I say that is when you are just generous and want to help others, you know, when you give to others, don't expect anything in return. You're going to be a lot happier in life. That's what my mentor always telling me. It's, you know, before in college, you know, when I want to help other people and you know, guilty to say that sometimes I do expect something in return. I'm thinking, well, maybe that person going to do me a favor down the road, or maybe when you help, that person will help me. But that kind of create like that's not generous, right? That's kind of like a strategy of like, you know, it's not like you don't help out, you're doing yourself a favor. So I think it doesn't matter where you are in life today, whether you're a student or you're a very successful entrepreneur, you know, professional in your industry. When you can help people, just do it. Because at the end of the day, death is guaranteed, right? Because we all gonna die one day. It's but I think the more people you can help, the legacy you can leave and the impact you can make on other people's life is going to be here forever. So I think that's the last thing I want to leave off with is help others without expecting anything in return, and your life be a lot happier.
Awesome. I think that's a great note to wrap up on for all of the more life, personal, different sort of questions that I always like to cover. And you've said so many great things. Now, with all of my guests, I ask a random question. I'm not sure if this one's really going to apply to you, so I might have to come up with a different one, but especially because you were just talking about kind of giving back, being happy, and all of that stuff. So my question is whether or not if you've had a pet, or if not, if you at some point want a pet, and what kind of pet you would like.
I would love so many pets, for sure. I was joking around with my friend the other day. I told them, I said, you know, I want a dog so bad right now, but I couldn't because I have no idea what my next step's gonna be. And I told them that if I don't get married by age 30, I'm gonna get two dogs and a van, and I'm gonna travel all over the world with my two dogs. And came back and get married and get two more dogs. So Sarah, to your question, yes, I'm going to have a lot of dogs and maybe cats in my life as well. So maybe someday when you visit my place, there's going to be a lot of animals in the house. So yes, definitely. But what kind of dog? I used to have a chow chow back home in China. Have you seen chow chow before? Do you know what kind of breed that is?
Not in person, no, but I've seen pictures online.
It looked like a teddy bear with the purple tail. Yeah, that's a chow chow. I used to have, that was my baby back home, but I had to give away to my aunt. But then since then, I have never owned a dog. So I think I would love to get a husky, a chow chow, a lap doodle, and a German Shepherd mix. So that's the four dog I'm looking to get. Maybe a pet bull as well. Who knows?
You have it all planned out, but You said it right at the beginning that like now's not the time. I don't know what's happening. So like when I'm 30. So you're being responsible about it, which I like to hear.
I can assume that way, but trust me, I have nothing figured out. My life is a mess. but yeah, I'm looking for the good dogs for sure. So you will see a lot of pictures of me and my dogs.
All right, that brings this episode to a close. There will be lots of good information in the description of this episode. I'll be leaving the name of the book that Jen mentioned earlier, so if you want to check that out for time management. And I'll be leaving information about the podcast that he hosts with Ben, so if you want to learn about career paths, go definitely check that out. And also will be Jen's email if you want to connect with him personally, and you can find his LinkedIn page. The easiest way would be going to the podcast, my podcast email, or my podcast LinkedIn page, or his podcast LinkedIn page, and you know, you can find us there. But we love connecting, and he's happy to connect with all of you. And of course, if you'd like to connect with this podcast here, we are on Instagram, Facebook, Patreon, LinkedIn, and of course, the email is in the description as well. I'm always looking forward to having new guests, so it's been great to meet Jen today. So I'm hopeful that, you know, more listeners will come on and talk to me a little bit about their lives. So thank you so much, Jen, for spending time with me today, and to my listeners for taking the time out of your day to hear a new story. Until next time, bye.
Thanks for listening, guys. See you next time. Bye.